Here's a curious paradox. A 1991 investment book that's never been reprinted sells for thousands of dollars on the secondhand market. Warren Buffett keeps it on his shelf. Hedge fund titans consider it required reading. What makes Seth Klarman's margin of safety so valuable isn't a secret formula for beating the market. It's something far more radical. It argues that your primary goal shouldn't be making money at all. It should be not losing it. In a world obsessed with returns, this focus on risk feels almost subversive. Yet it's precisely this counterintuitive wisdom that has allowed value investors to sleep soundly through market crashes that devastated everyone else. Warren Buffett's first rule of investing is don't lose money, and his second rule is never forget the first rule. Loss avoidance should be every investor's primary goal, not avoiding all risk, but protecting principal over time. The mathematics of compounding make this crucial. Even modest returns compound dramatically over decades, while a single large loss can destroy years of gains. Warren Buffett's first rule of investing is don't lose money, and his second rule is never forget the first rule. Loss avoidance should be every investor's primary goal, not avoiding all risk, but protecting principal over time. The mathematics of compounding make this crucial. Even modest returns compound dramatically over decades, while a single large loss can destroy years of gains. Consider buying a neighborhood business. You'd examine the books, evaluate customers, and calculate whether the price makes sense given cash flow. You wouldn't buy because the shop next door sold for more. Yet most people approach stocks exactly this way, as traders rather than owners. True investment treats every stock purchase as fractional business ownership. Your returns come from the cash the business produces, the market recognizing previously missed value, or the gap between price and worth narrowing. Speculation ignores this. It's simply betting someone will pay more tomorrow. The sardine trading parable captures this perfectly. When sardines disappeared from Monterey's waters, traders kept bidding up canned sardine prices until someone opened a can, only to discover they were rotten. The reply? Those are trading sardines, not eating sardines. The fundamental test? Does the asset produce cash flow? Benjamin Graham's Mr. Market allegory explains market psychology perfectly. Imagine a partner who daily offers to buy your shares or sell you his. Some days he's euphoric, quoting astronomical prices. Other days he's depressed, selling at pennies on the dollar. His quotes reflect his mood. They don't determine what the business is worth. Successful investors recognize Mr. Market serves them. When he's depressed and offering bargains, they buy. When he's manic and overpaying, they sell. The rest of the time, they ignore him entirely. Most investors do the opposite, buying because prices rise, selling because they fall. Wall Street's compensation structure creates profound conflicts. Professionals earn money from activity, not results. Brokers profit from each trade, incentivizing excessive churning. Underwriters collect fees before anyone knows if transactions will succeed. The more you trade, the more they earn, regardless of your outcomes. Stock underwritings generate 2-8% fees. Secondary trades yield far less, creating incentives to push new issues over existing securities. Closed-end mutual funds typically offer initial shares at $10, take an 8% commission, then frequently decline below $9.20 within months, inflicting 10-15% losses when no-load funds could provide identical exposure. Institutional investors haven't improved returns. They've made them worse. Most suffer from short-term, relative performance orientation, with some managers facing hourly calculations. Pension consultants exacerbate this pressure, transforming managers into speculators, guessing others' moves rather than finding genuine opportunities. Few institutional managers invest personal money alongside clients. Using the tremble factor from Roman engineering, where architects stood beneath their arches when scaffolding was removed, imagine how differently managers would behave if their wealth depended on the same outcomes. Most institutions impose arbitrary restrictions: no cash limits, no stocks below $5, no unlisted securities, no distressed companies. These prudent man constraints dramatically shrink their universe, often eliminating precisely those securities most likely to be mispriced. Value investing means buying securities at significant discounts to their underlying values and holding them until that value is realized. Graham's buying a dollar for 50 cents. Why such steep discounts? Because value fluctuates, estimates can be wrong, and unexpected events occur. The margin of safety protects against human error, bad luck, and extreme volatility. As Graham noted, the margin of safety is always dependent on the price paid. Buffett likened it to building a bridge rated for 30,000 pounds, but only driving 10,000-pound trucks across it. Erie Lackawanna traded at $110 per share while holding $140 in cash per share. You paid less than the cash in the company's bank account. Telefonos de Mexico sold for 10 cents in 1987, despite forecasted earnings of 15 cents and book value of 75 cents. By 1991, shares rose to over $3.25, not from fundamental developments, but changed investor psychology. Market downturns reveal value investing's true strength. Securities priced to reflect depressed fundamentals have little room to fall further, while any improvement can significantly boost returns. This asymmetry, limited downside, substantial upside, is the essence of the margin of safety. You're not predicting the future or timing markets, simply refusing to overpay. Business valuation is inherently imprecise. Graham recognized analysis doesn't need to determine exact intrinsic value, only whether value adequately justifies investment or differs significantly from market price. When companies are sold, Wall Street's estimates have varied by as much as 100%. Specialized situations often present opportunities where straightforward bargains rarely last. Corporate liquidations appeal to value investors because most people avoid them. When City Investing Company liquidated in 1984, the resulting trust traded at just $3 per unit. By 1991, investors had received distributions worth approximately 9 times their investment. Spin-offs create similar opportunities. When companies distribute subsidiary shares, many recipients sell immediately. Institutions find positions too small. Index funds must sell if the spin-off isn't in their index. Others know nothing about the business. Intertan's 1986 spin-off from Tandy Corporation exemplified this. Despite having $15 book value per share, $11 net working capital, and profitable operations, Intertan traded at just 11. By 1989, shares peaked at 34. These situations share common traits. They're messy, require work to understand, fall outside institutional mandates, and involve temporary selling pressure unrelated to fundamentals. For individual investors willing to do the work, these situations offer a sustainable edge. Unsuccessful investors research a $1,000 appliance for weeks, yet invest $10,000 on a stock tip without analysis. They treat the market as a casino, not a mechanism for business ownership. Greed drives them to chase performance and embrace new-era thinking that dismisses traditional valuation. These rationalizations inevitably collide with reality, triggering fear-driven panics. A security's merit depends entirely on price. Value investors focus on price, not stories. Success requires developing appropriate reactions to price fluctuations, resisting fear when prices fall and greed when they rise. This emotional discipline separates winners from losers more than analytical ability. Never purchase a full position at once. Buying partial positions allows you to average down if prices decline. Your willingness to average down distinguishes investments from speculations. If you're unwilling to buy more as prices fall, you shouldn't have bought initially. It suggests you're speculating on price movement rather than investing based on underlying value. Portfolio management never stops. There's no backlog of returns, no finish line. Liquidity offers the option to change your mind, though it vanishes when you need it most. Prudent diversification typically means 10-15 holdings. Know a lot about a few investments rather than little about many. Your best ideas generate higher risk-adjusted returns than your 100th best. Concentration forces genuine understanding. Many investors spot bargains but struggle with selling. As price rises, safety margin shrinks. The only rule? Everything is for sale at the right price. Base decisions on business value and available alternatives, not arbitrary targets. Career risk makes unconventional decisions feel too dangerous for most professionals. Mediocrity becomes acceptable because standing apart feels threatening. But for individual investors, this creates opportunity. You can hold cash when nothing looks attractive, invest in situations too small for institutions, and be patient when others panic. In a world screaming about missing the next big thing, the quiet discipline of protecting what you have and buying only when the price is right might be the most radical act of all.